Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated September 22nd, the equinox, 2017. Hot weather, heat wave continues in fall. Decatur, the first day of fall will offer scant signs of relief from the latest stretch of heat to hit central Illinois this year. The recent unseasonably hot and dry weather will continue into October, according to the National Weather Service. For now, the temperature will remain hot and humid in the 90s until next Wednesday. A hazardous weather outlook was issued for parts of central Illinois, including Macon County, due to the high temperatures, said National Weather Service meteorologist Chuck Schaefer. The city of Decatur has also taken note of Lake Decatur's lower levels and issued an advisory to dock owners. This is a little bit later than people are used to experience this type of heat, Schaefer said. If people are doing outdoor activity, limit the time outdoors, especially during the midday. The Decatur School District announced it will have an early dismissal again Friday to combat the high temperatures. The students were released early on Thursday as well. Students were dismissed after 3 hours of instruction, which is the normal procedure for half days, said Maria Robertson, the district's director of community engagement. We take into consideration the weather forecast, the temperature in our buildings, and we try to decide as early as possible, Robertson said. She also said all pre-K special education students who do not have an adult at home and those without a latchkey agreement will be released to Harris Elementary School. The City of Decatur is advising Lake Decatur dock owners to check and adjust their docks and boat hoists as necessary due to the lake level gradually decreasing as a result of below-normal rainfall. In a news release, the city said Lake Decatur's water elevation is 603.1 feet above mean sea level, which is 1.4 feet below the full summer elevation of 614.5. The current lake level is normal for years that are drier than average, the city said. It will continue to slowly decline until a significant amount of rain is experienced this fall. The city said it is not concerned about the quantity of water in Lake Decatur, as it is currently 83% full. Property owners adjacent to the lake are encouraged to take advantage of the low water level to remove debris from their shoreline area, if it is safe to do so, the city said. The National Weather Service is encouraging people to follow heat safety guidelines such as avoiding the midday sun and staying in air conditioning and hydrated if possible. For this particular stretch of weather we will have through the weekend, we are going to be seeing very warm temperatures for this time of year, Schaefer said. The hazardous weather outlook is for the counties of Christian, Clark, Clay, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Effingham, Jasper, Logan, Macon, Menard, Moultrie, Piatt, Richland, and Shelby counties. A hazardous weather outlook is issued to give information about potentially severe weather within the next 7 days, according to the Weather Service. Next week, a cold front is expected to come through the Midwest that will bring more typical temperatures in the upper 70s, he said. In September, we can still get hot days, and that's what's happened recently, Schaefer said. Several of the last Septembers, we've had highs reaching above the 90s multiple times. The weather is out of the ordinary, Schaefer said, but it isn't completely unheard of. In 2011, there were a few days that reached temperatures above 100 degrees this time of year. So far, the month of September has remained dry, and the area is experiencing a moderate drought left over from the dry summer. 91% of the state is abnormally dry for this time of year, according to the National Drought Monitor. Decatur has been unseasonably dry as well. It has been a pretty dry summer through central Illinois, especially along I-72 from Springfield to Champaign, Schaefer said. The drought doesn't have quite as much impact as fall begins and plants need less moisture. However, the drought is expected to continue into October, which forecasts are showing will be warmer than normal with less than normal rain, Schaefer said. Usually, at this level of drought right now, we don't see significant impacts to the water supply, Schaefer said. The amount of water available isn't typically affected until an extreme drought, which would be months away, and continued lower than average rainfall, he said. Community Awards. Willauer named Citizen of the Year, Decatur. David Willauer, a former Human Resources Director at Caterpillar, is the latest recipient of the city's Citizen of the Year Award. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf presented the honor to Willauer as part of the Decatur Area Chamber of Commerce's annual Chamber Awards Luncheon on Thursday at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. Most of the time in the history of the award, it's been the out in front people you always see who are out in front of everything, Moore Wolf said. This year it's someone who's already in the background, who never, ever wanted to be in the spotlight, didn't even expect a thank you. In addition to his years at Caterpillar, Willauer has served on the Macon County Board as well as the Board of Earth Mover Credit Union, but much of his work and impact have been behind the scenes. Willauer recounted in his acceptance speech how a former H&R reporter once told him he was the most difficult person she'd ever interviewed. She said, "You always thought before you spoke," he said. The mayor pointed to Willauer's interest in some of the more nitty-gritty issues of local government, including his push for an increase in the water utility rates in 2007 out of concern for local water quality, and his push for a public safety tax to support the Macon County Sheriff's Office. "I knew he was going to be Citizen of the Year on Election Day last year," Moore Wolf said. "There he was on Election Day holding a sign outside in the rain and cold saying, 'Please vote for the tax on the street corner,' as the rain came down." True to the mayor's description of him as someone who avoided the spotlight and never asked for recognition, Willauer spent his short speech thanking his family and Decatur itself. "I came here 50 years ago," Willauer said. "I fell in love. It's still the most wonderful place to live, work, and raise a family. Thank you, Decatur." Other winners include Giggles, the downtown toy store on Merchant Street, for the Outstanding Micro Business Award, and J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds for the Outstanding Small Business Award. And honor J.L. Hubbard President Kevin Brehaney said the company also received in 1991. "This year we're old, long in the tooth, not very green anymore, and never expected this," Brehaney said. J.L. Hubbard's leadership team has been in place since 1979, and Brehaney announced several in-house employees will take their place at the start of 2018, including Dan Martini, who will be promoted as president. Macon Resources Incorporation won the Nonprofit of the Year Award, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce presented U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican of Taylorville, with its Spirit and Enterprise Award. Davis has a 100% voting record on the Chamber's legislative scoreboard. The U.S. Chamber is the business interest group based in Washington, D.C. Students react to shooting. Students thank teacher who stopped shooter, Mattoon. The day after gunfire erupted at Mattoon High School, students and staff said that they returned to the building shaken, but thankful for the brave actions of a teacher credited with saving lives. The freshman authorities accused of firing the handgun also on Thursday was ordered to undergo a mental health evaluation. An estimated 250 people attended an assembly in the school gym and expressed thanks to physical education teacher Angela McQueen, said Hayden Wickline, a student who was in the cafeteria when shots rang out. "Everyone stood up and we all clapped our hands and cheered for Ms. McQueen," Wickline said. Police and school district officials have said McQueen, who was not available to be interviewed for this story, subdued the shooter until he could be disarmed by a school resource officer. Authorities said one student was hospitalized with injuries. A parent, Sky Arthur of Mattoon, on Wednesday, said that her son was also grazed by a bullet across his knuckles. The accused gunman, a slightly built blonde teen, on Thursday appeared before Circuit Court Judge Mitchell Schick, who granted a mental health evaluation request by his lawyer, Coles County Public Defender Anthony Ortega. The evaluations will address the possibility of insanity at the time of the incident, whether the boy is at risk to himself or others, and if he's able to understand and help with the case. The court does not permit the identification of juvenile suspects. The teen, who authorities believe acted alone, is charged with aggravated battery with a firearm. Schick appointed Lawrence Jekyll, a Champaign psychiatrist, to examine the teen. The insanity evaluation will try to determine if the teen's mental condition at the time of the shooting meant he was criminally responsible for what he did. The mental fitness for trial issue could lead to the teen receiving treatment until he can help with this case. A finding that he's at risk to himself or to others could also affect his detention. Coles County State's Attorney Brian Bauer agreed with Ortega that Ortega had the right to seek the evaluations and didn't object to Schick's ordering them. The boy's parents attended the hearing and, responding to Schick's questions, said that they agreed to the mental issue evaluations. Members of the boy's family declined to be interviewed for the story. "It was going to be me." On Thursday, students and parents recounted the panic the day before, which started at about 11:30 a.m. Sophomore Bianca Beltran, 15, said she was in a nearby hallway when the shooting took place. She and two other students started running after hearing the gunshots and were afraid for the safety of those in the cafeteria, she said. "If it wasn't for them, it was going to be me. If it wasn't them, it was going to be me," Beltran said. She said they hid behind nearby houses. She let others use her cell phone and then used it to call her mother, who was at Walmart at the time. Beltran said her mother picked her up and wanted to take her to Riddle Elementary School, which was the evacuation point for the high school students. However, Beltran said she wasn't having it and demanded to stay with her mother. The sophomore was one of the students who didn't return to the high school on Thursday. Beltran said she and others wanted to be with family, but she also admitted that she was tired from everything. Beltran said that she heard stories about how McQueen subdued the shooter and how it was apparently bullying that student that likely led to the incident. She also said that there have been concerns about bullying at the school raised in the past. "They need to do more than give out detention," Beltran said. Those students who were having lunch in the cafeteria at the time of the shooting included Mattoon resident Lonnie Scott's child. McQueen deserves a lot of thanks for subduing the shooter. She took action in a moment when there was clear and present danger. She was selfless and she saved lives, Scott said. Her actions resulted in zero fatalities. Scott said if McQueen had not taken action, the community would likely be holding funerals this week for those who would have been killed. He said McQueen's action saves the lives of potential victims and the life of the shooter. He said the community will now have an opportunity to ask the hard questions about what led to the shooting and how this incident could have been prevented. "She gave us an opportunity to have the hard conversations," Scott said. Testimony. Gunshot hit student in chest. In court Thursday, Bauer provided Schick with some of the details of the Mattoon Police Department investigation and arrest of the teen. He said witnesses who Police Lieutenant Detective Sam Gaines interviewed included a high school student who said she was sitting at the lunch table with the suspect and other students. The girl said she saw that the boy had a gun and McQueen approached him, Bauer said. The boy then pulled the gun and pointed it at the girl and shot as McQueen grabbed his arm, he said. The shot missed the girl but did hit another student in the upper chest, Bauer said. More shots were fired into the cafeteria ceiling before McQueen subdued the boy, he said. A semi-automatic handgun was later found in the teen's possession, Bauer said. Wickline also said he saw McQueen grab at the shooter's hands from behind and push them upward toward the cafeteria ceiling. He said bullets fired into the ceiling as a mass of students scrambled to get to safety. The sophomore said he saw his girlfriend, Krista Kingery, sheltering under a cafeteria table. Wickline said he grabbed her and shouted that they needed to go. "I just knew that we had to get out," Wickline said. As they ran down a nearby hallway, Wickline said, they passed the school's resource officer, who was running to the cafeteria. Wickline said that they then ran out the front doors and down the road. The sophomores said Sophomore said he turned to look back toward the school and saw more than 150 students running behind him. Bauer said he didn't charge the teen with attempted murder because that charge requires an attempt at killing a specific person. It's also the same classification of offense as aggravated battery with a firearm, and the possible sentence is the same, he said. With adult charges, both are felony offenses that require a prison sentence of 6 to 30 years with a conviction. Schick scheduled the suspect's next court appearance for October 5th. The Mattoon School District on Thursday posted a Facebook message that said the wounded student is in stable condition and good spirits. Mattoon High School will again operate on an early dismissal schedule Friday, according to school officials. The high school will dismiss at 12:09 p.m., and all other Mattoon school buildings will have regularly scheduled hours. School on Thursday was held for half day because of the shooting. Counselors were also on hand. Sophomore Matthew Cox said students had been consoling one another about what happened and returned to school Thursday feeling like the setting was a surreal. The school felt empty, like he shouldn't be there. It just didn't feel right, Cox said. He said the assembly, once McQueen came in, everyone immediately applauded. I would like to thank her, he said, for stopping the student from causing any more trouble. Support is pouring in for Mattoon community. Whether it was through a statement or a fundraiser, many are sharing their support to those at Mattoon High School after the shooting Wednesday. Sarah Wilson of Mattoon started a GoFundMe page to raise money for increased security at the school. Students and staffers from Taylorville High dressed in green and performed the Mattoon School Fight Song on an online video. A couple of GoFundMe fundraisers have been established to raise money to give to Angela McQueen, the MHS math teacher who stopped the shooter. An appreciation in total $60 has been raised thus far from the two. Team Massive, with Mattoon District School Board approval, will be selling hashtag Mattoon Strong shirts with proceeds that exceed the cost going to the school. Students at various school area districts wore green to school Thursday to show solidarity with Mattoon High School. In the highlights from the calendar this week at HeyAldrinReview.com, Friday there was a fall lunch at noon at John's Hill Center. It was $10, cards and lunch with soup, tossed salad, chicken salad croissant, and surprise dessert. Saturday, Model A Ford Day, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Fred B. Johnson Park, Nokomis. Call 217-563-7357. Period attire is encouraged. That number again is 563-7357. And on Sunday, the Southern Honor Culture of the American Civil War, 4 to 6 p.m. at Oglesby Mansion, Milliken's History Professor Dr. Dan Monroe. In the antebellum South, a peculiar and distinctive culture of honor developed. On page A3, local and state news, Decatur games range from trivia to pickleball, family fun reformatted. Justin Brooks said he was feeling pretty confident Thursday evening. It was his first time participating in the annual Decatur Games in about 2 years. While his teammates tackled the evening's other activities, euchre and karaoke, Brooks was waiting to compete as a finalist in the wing-eating contest. He was still full from eating in the first round, but that didn't make him any less hungry to win. I really could have gotten first, but I didn't want to choke on the wings, said Brooks, who was a member of the Decatur Indoor Sports Center's team. This time, I'm not going to hold back. Hosted by Pop's Place, 4335 West Main Street, Thursday's event was the second to last of competition for this year's Decatur Games. Traditionally, the games have taken place on multiple nights over a two-week span, but for the 2017 games, organizers decided to try out a new format. This year's games kicked off on September 7th, and competitions were held on the two following Thursdays. On Saturday, the games will conclude with a day-long event at Rotary Park off of US 51. Games ranging from trivia to pickleball have been played in the previous weeks. The final day will feature a variety of backyard games like volleyball and wiffle ball, and a traveling trophy will be awarded to the team that earns the most points at the end of the play. Rachel Bishop, recreation supervisor for the DISC, said she and other organizers decided to change the format because participating in the games for two straight weeks had become too taxing for some teams in recent weeks. 7 teams registered for this year's games, she said, and their reactions to the changes have so far been mixed. Some companies like the old format and some companies like the new one, Bishop said. It's 50-50. It's hard to please all the people, but we decided to try something different and switch it off a bit. As a participant in the past Decatur games, Michelle Burns said that she's on the fence about the new format. She likes that the competition nights are more spread out throughout the month, but is not yet sold on the day-long event on Saturday. Regardless, Burns said her experiences representing Tate and Lyle at the games have been enjoyable. I always think it's fun, she said. We always like to have a team, and we come together, and you sometimes get to see people you don't get to see all the time, and we get to know each other, and it's just a fun environment. Bishop said the DISC, DISC, usually asks all of the teams to take a survey at the end of the games to gauge their experience about the year's competitions. There are currently no plans for what next year's games might look like, but Bishop said she and her committee will take all of the participants' feedback into account. A lot of teams said the 4 out of 5 weekday format was a little much, so the once-a-week kinds of things are pretty popular, she said. Poet visits Richland College, Decatur. Gabrielle Morrow didn't know what to expect when she sat down to listen to the national poet, actor, and author Carlos Andres Gomez. He was inspirational, she said, after his show in the Richland Community College Library. Morrow was one of about 60 students and staff to hear Gomez recite his poetry and tell his stories during Thursday's show. The Richland gathering was part of Gomez's Majority of One college tour. The event was a performance focusing on themes such as masculinity, race, and ethnicity. And to have some fun, Gomez said. Gomez, 35, has been able to channel his life experiences into a one-man show as well as his book, Man Up. Gomez says the title of the book was a phrase that haunted his childhood. His mother told him that if you want to kill the monster, you have to turn the lights on. This is my way of killing that monster, he said. The subjects of his art often reveal society's use of stereotypes and how they can be misconstrued, yet still affect others. The book is about me being a sensitive kid, feeling like I had to be sometimes emotionless, macho dude, Gomez said. Thursday's show addressed many of the stereotypes often heard through the hallways of colleges, including Richland. At 22, Morrow said she has already experienced this. It is sometimes something that resonates with me because it is something I've gone through, she said. You tell someone something about yourself, and that is how they see you. Alex Berry, coordinator of student engagement, invited the poet to Richland because of his show's subject matter. Gomez discusses culture, heritage, and masculinity, topics that we need to discuss on college campuses, Berry said. We could carry on those conversations here. As a student, Morrow has seen the importance of communication in her small college. You can't just categorize people, but it is important to let people know who you are, she said. Things like this show teach people. Gomez is a spoken word poet who has performed on HBO's Deaf Poetry and in the Denzel Washington movie Inside Man. He has spent much of his career performing on campus stages as well as teaching workshops and participating in class discussions. The Richland Library was initially chosen for the venue because of the construction of the center of the college campus of the Student Success Center. We had to get creative, Barry said. We chose the library because it was an intimate setting. Gomez said that he was happy to be performing in the Richland Library. It's a nice, intimate, quiet space, he said. But I'm a New Yorker, and New Yorkers aren't typically quiet. Home invasions, shooting-related, police report. Decatur. Police said that they are treating two Wednesday night home invasions, one of which resulted in a woman being shot as related incidents. A woman, 52, was shot 3 times after 2 people entered her home at 10:44 p.m. Wednesday night, Decatur police said. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland said police are investigating the incident as an attempted murder. Officers were sent to Delta Circle on the city's north side, where the victim was found to have 3 gunshot wounds, which were determined to be non-life-threatening, police said. The victim was taken to a local hospital, and Copeland said there are no suspects in custody. The victim told police that she walked out into her living room about 10:35 p.m. because her dog was barking, so she thought one of her children was home. Instead, she told police she saw a white female with a heavier build standing in her hallway and a black male about 6 feet tall and slim build standing at her front door. As soon as the white female saw her, she left out the front door. Then the black man came in to the residence and he began demanding money, Copeland said. The victim said she didn't have any money and he struck her 3 times on the head with the gun. The victim ran out of her front door and tripped on the front porch, where she was shot 3 times, Copeland said. About an hour earlier, officers were sent to Kent Avenue in the Park City mobile home community, where another home invasion was reported, police said. A 22-year-old woman told police about 2 black males, both about 6 feet tall with slim builds, and a white female with a heavier build, entered her home with guns. They entered with guns and did not demand anything and ran out because of the dog in the residence, Copeland said the victim reported. The 2 incidents occurred within an hour of each other in the same area with matching physical descriptions, he said. We are working on the assumption that they're related, Copeland said. Police encourage anyone with information regarding these incidents to call police at 217-424-2711. Or Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. That's 424-2711 or 423-8477. Reasons to live in the Decatur, 100 reasons to live in the Decatur area. Mueller's inventions are still significant. After immigrating to Illinois from Germany in 1832, Hieronymus Mueller was looking for a railroad town to settle and pick Decatur. He started H. Mueller Gun Shop in 1857, but soon began expanding it, adding locksmithing and sewing machine repair. In 1871, he'd been appointed to Decatur's first city plumber to oversee the installation of water distribution system. It was as a plumber that Mueller began inventing. In 1872, he designed the Mueller water tapper, which became the standard in plumbing. By 1885, the name of the company was changed to Mueller Company, and by 1895, it moved to where it stands at El Dorado and Edward Streets. Though it's no longer headquartered in Decatur, Mueller Company is now based in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It remains one of the market's leading leaders in plumbing, with the Mueller water tapper still the basis of what's used to control water flow today. If the water tapper had been Mueller's only invention, he'd still have been significant, but Mueller was just beginning. He and his sons went on to produce 501 patented inventions, including water pressure regulators. Mueller valves were used in the Panama Canal, faucet designs, the first sanitary drinking fountain, roller skate design, and a bicycle kickstand. In 1892, Mueller turned to cars. At first, his efforts were utter failure, but eventually his improvements on the German Benz led to the Mueller Benz, which won the first official road race in the nation in 1895 and finished second in the first official race held a few weeks later in Chicago. Even though Mueller's death in 1900, Mueller and Company remained a vital part of the Decatur economy for much of the 20th century. In 1995, the Hieronymus Mueller Museum was founded by his descendants, and in 2005, a permanent facility was built next to the Mueller Company factory on East El Dorado that displays artifacts, memorabilia, and library materials chronicling Mueller's life and significant contributions. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated 9/22/2017. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.